I was telling people this morning, I woke up at 2:30 this morning. I looked outside and it looked like the sun was coming up. So I thought, well, I might as well just go ahead and stay up. Because I thought it was about 5:30 or so. But then I looked at my phone and realized it was 2:30. So I decided to go back to bed. I guess that's what the block party will do to you, huh? Make you see things. Last week we took a quick look at the history of our church and how it has affected people positively in our community for quite some time. We looked also at who we are now, the church body that we are now, and we talked a little bit about where we want to go as a church. And we're looking at redefining ourselves. And that means that what we do is going to change to fit inside of our vision that God has placed on our hearts of our leadership here. Remember, our vision statement is this: helping the community discover and explore the truth of God's love. What we do here at First Christian Church is going to be focused around fulfilling that vision statement. And before I get too far, I gotta make sure Lester can hear me. There we go. Or Leonard. Lester's not here. That'd be weird if Lester was here. There we go. All right. We talked very briefly about telescopes last week, too. Telescopes are great tools. The amateur stargazer probably has an affordable telescope, a lot like this one behind me here, that Nate got from his Nana and Papa. Now, he saw it up here last week and decided that it needed to be used again. So we're going to take it back and try to find some stars and stuff for him to look at when we get back. But there's a vast difference between an amateur telescope and a professional telescope. If you take a look, we're going to have two videos. This first video, we have an amateur stargazer with a backyard telescope, and he's hooked his camera up to it, and he's capturing images of three different planets, Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter. Of those three, the best that he was able to capture was of Jupiter. So this is what he did. So he got some pretty good images through that amateur telescope of Jupiter. And so we're going to look at the difference here. That's an amateur telescope. We're going to look at the difference here between an amateur telescope and a professional telescope. And this second video that we've got is from the Hubble telescope that is owned and operated by NASA. there's a huge difference between what you can see through an amateur telescope and what you can see through a professional telescope. A professional telescope, like the Hubble telescope, is probably a little bit out of the price range of what you and I could afford, all right? We could probably better afford a telescope a lot like the one that Nate has here, or the one that was used in the first video. And here's the thing, our focus and our purpose, much like these two telescopes, help determine how we see our world. The more focused you are able to be on a specific purpose, the better your results are going to be. You know, the amateur telescope, it can only focus so much. But that Hubble telescope, man, if you take that video and you watch it on a smaller screen on your computer, you can see details that you just can't see in an amateur telescope. And as Christians, the more focused we are on God's purposes and God's vision, then the better our results are going to be. We spent the past 7 months sharing and talking about how God's vision that He has placed on the hearts of our leadership is going to guide us as we move forward as a church. We talked last week about some subtle but necessary changes that we need to make to the programs we do, the events that we put on, and even our physical location. And as we begin to focus in on what God wants from our church, things are going to change. And if we are properly focused on fulfilling what God wants, what God's vision is for us, then who we are is going to change as well. Now, exactly does that mean? That means that who makes up the bulk of this church is going to change. If our goal is to help the community discover and explore the truth of God's love, then we have to expect when we do that, that those not currently involved in our church body will want to become a part of us and become involved with what we do. Who we are will change. And that's a good thing. Think about it like this. I love Zach being 2 years old. I just love it. All right. I loved Nate when he was 2. It was like my favorite age for those boys. And it's a great age because they're small enough that they want to cuddle with you. And they adore you because you're so much bigger and stronger. But then when they hit 6, like Nate, and they start to be a little bit faster than you, it kind of humbles you a little bit. But here's the thing. It's not in the best interest of my sons for them to stay 2 years old. I might want them to stay 2 years old because I can cuddle them and I can throw them up real high in the air and that kind of thing. But they need to grow bigger. They need to grow stronger. They need to grow smarter. They need to grow more mature. Will Nate still be Nate when he is 27? Yes. Will Zach still be Zach when Zach is 15? Yes. They will still be my sons, but they'll have matured into who they need to be for that time in their life. Now, there's a danger that is associated with working to change who we are. It's easy for us to know and easy for us to say that we need to change. It's easy for us to even see the need to change some things. But the danger lies in when we believe that what we've always done will always work. I shared last week a little bit. Nate has been waking up a lot recently, crying in the middle of the night because his legs hurt. My legs hurt. Oh, you know, he'll come in and like just be a blubbering mess. And so we'll give him some medicine and help him get back to sleep. He's been waking up with growing pains in his legs. He doesn't like them. They hurt. But he needs them to happen so that he can grow. He can be faster like he wants to be. He can be stronger like he wants to be. The problem with thinking that what we've always done will always work is that it causes us to grow comfortable. And here's the thing. Comfortable is the enemy of growth and progress. It makes us not want to continue to change to achieve our vision, to achieve our purpose. And that's why a mentality shift needs to happen inside of our church body. We need to move away from this idea that we need to be comfortable here. We need to be comfortable with how things are, how we're doing things. We need to start moving towards being challenged. We need to start moving towards being motivated to do things better. You see, we have to constantly build on what we've done. The things that we've done in the past have been good. They've led us to where we are now. And the things that we're doing now are good. You know, we had the block party last night. I just jumped on Facebook last night around 11 o'clock, and people that had been invited online to our block party were writing on our church's Facebook page. It was a great time. God bless you guys for doing this for us. But the things that we're doing now, they need to motivate us towards building on them and making them better. And then the things that we want to do, we need to commit to building on top of them as well and making them great. Why? Because people who come here in the past, people who come here now, people who are going to come here in the future, as well as God, they deserve our best. They deserve the best that we can give them as a church. You see, good enough is the enemy of great. A lot of times we're tempted to say that things we're doing, they're good enough. And then we never work towards making them great. I have a saying that I always say that it is good enough for rock and roll. You know, you think about the Beatles, you had somebody like Paul McCartney. He knew the exact words to the songs. He knew the exact chords to the songs that they, when they first got together as a band. And then you had John Lennon, who could fake it and make it sound like it was supposed to. Good enough is the enemy of great. I have this issue when it comes to using scissors. Okay? Now, you learn to use scissors like preschool. So I've got probably about 30 years of scissor experience underneath my belt. I'm not a horrible cutter by any means. I can cut things on the lines for the most part. But I can't stand doing it over and over and over. Jennifer had me help her cut stuff out for VBS, and it drove me up the wall. I think I lasted 15 minutes cutting stuff out. But I can't stand doing them over and over and over again so that they look perfect. Now, I start to rush, and then I think, oh, I'll make a mistake, and nobody will notice. And you know, if it's something that's up here and you're standing in the back of the room, you probably won't notice it. But the closer you get, you think, oh man, Dave could use some scissor lessons. You could tell that I had settled, though, for good enough. And if you look at some of those VBS cuttings that I did, you could tell I settled for good enough cutting instead of great cutting. In 1 Peter 2, verses 2 through 3, Peter writes this in his letter, and this letter is circulated around to the churches in the known world at that time. And this is what Peter writes. He says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Peter begins his letter by writing to these churches about their need to work towards being holy like God. He says, hey, you guys need to work to be holy. It's something that you need to chase after. He tells them to avoid things that would push them towards doing evil. And then he shares our passage. He says, crave spiritual milk. You've had your taste of what God does for you. You've seen the sacrifice that Jesus has made for you. Now is the time for you to grow up in your salvation. And so we've got to understand the basics of our faith. We've got to know what we believe and why we believe it. We can't just take what we've been told and just accept it as truth. We're supposed to take what we've been told and we're supposed to test it. We're supposed to prove it. When we do that, it leads to growth in our understanding of God. It leads to growth in our understanding of salvation and what that means for us. In Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, we get another comparison of faith to milk. The writer of Hebrews has things that he wants to share with the Jewish Christians that he's writing to, and he just can't do it. They aren't working towards trying to understand more about their faith, so they need to be fed spiritual baby food still. And so this is what the writer of Hebrews writes. He says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, he says, you've been Christians long enough. You need to be teaching people. You should be teaching people. He says, even though you should be teaching people by this time frame, you need somebody to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. This spiritual milk is the basics of faith. It's what new believers need to eat so that they can grow. You have to move away from the basics of spiritual milk at some point and begin moving towards the maturity that comes with eating solid food. You don't see many 25-year-old people still drinking mother's milk. Why? Because they've matured. See, there's a natural progression that needs to happen in our lives and in our faith. We've got to move away from just learning about these spiritual basics over and over and over and over again. We need to start moving towards being mature in our faith. And what does that mean? It means we're going to grow as a person in our faith. It means we're going to change in our faith. It means we're going to serve because of our faith. This kind of thing, it's not always easy. It's like growing pains. It hurts. It's not enjoyable. But it's beneficial. So what's the solution to this danger that we have? How do we fight this idea of being comfortable and therefore becoming stagnant? How do we move past being okay with just the basics of spiritual milk and move towards eating solid food and being mature in our faith? If you've ever eaten steak, you don't want to give up steak so you can have milk, do you? No, you want more steak, right? But here's the thing. We have to make an intentional move towards maturity. Right after the writer of Hebrews tells the Jews that they need to move towards maturity, he gives them a list of things that they need to move past teaching and learning over and over. And this is in the beginning of Hebrews 6. He writes, "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity." Let's move forward. "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." The writer is saying, you already understand the need for repentance. You already understand the need for faith in God. You understand the need for being spiritually clean and the need for salvation. What you need to do now is move towards a deeper understanding of those basics of faith. You need to apply them. You need to teach others who don't know those things what they mean. The writer of Hebrews understood something that we are going to work towards applying here at First Christian Church. He understood that while we need to grow, we also need to be committed to our foundation. That basics of faith, that spiritual milk, they're important to the growth of a Christian. They set a foundation for us. Understanding the need for repentance, the need for putting your faith in God, the need for being spiritually clean, and understanding how salvation works, they're all important building blocks of our faith. And so we take those building blocks that are the foundation of what we believe, and then we build on top of them. And when we build on top of the foundation that Jesus came here to live and die for us, to be raised again so that we can have eternal life, and that the only way to get to heaven is through Him, then what we build on top of that points back to it. Our missions that we support, they point back to our foundational beliefs as a church. We support missions all across the world that are dedicated to sharing the good news of Jesus to people. The times of fellowship that we have together, they point back to our foundational beliefs that we need to be together as a church, united, spending time together, developing relationships with each other. Our opportunities to learn together point back to our foundational beliefs. They point back to the fact that we need to tell people that they need Jesus, why they need Jesus, what it means to mature in our faith. Our willingness and our need to go out and share about Jesus that points back to our foundational beliefs. All these things that make up who we are point back to the foundation of what we believe. And the solution for us to overcome the danger of comfortableness and complacency is that we need to accept that we need to mature in our faith as a church body. When that happens, we get excited about who we want to be and what we want to do. Growth in your faith should be like growth in anything else. It should get you excited and empowered to keep growing. You know, the first time you try shooting a basketball and you miss and you miss and you miss and you make that first basket and you go, yes, I want to do it again. You know, you take ballroom dancing and you have two left feet. And you finally go out and it makes sense. It clicks one day. And you say, I want to keep doing this. You know, you watch people that are good at it. It gets you excited and empowers you to keep growing. When you grow as an athlete, you get better at your sport. When you grow in your vocation, you get better at your job. When you grow in your relationship with your spouse, you get better as a person that cares about them. These things, they take time, they take effort, they take hard work. But the excitement about the results of that improvement far outweighs the work that needs to be done. We're going to watch the Olympics here in 5 days. It's going to start. We're going to see the end result of years of training, years of hard work, literal blood, gallons of sweat. They showed a video last night on TV of people crying when they failed. We have the opportunity here and now to be agents of positive change here in Chester. God has placed us here and now for His purposes, for His vision, for what He wants us to do where we are. What we have to determine is how we need to work inside of His purpose and His vision. We need to take who we are, the very foundations of our faith in Jesus. We need to start moving towards who we want to be by using the things that we do to the best of our ability. And telescopes are great. Their purpose is to help you better see objects that are far away and bring them into proper focus. The more powerful a telescope is, the better the detail you can see of the object that you're trying to look at. When we allow ourselves to let God be in charge of our lives, and who we are and what we do are going to fit inside of His purpose and His vision for us as a church. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much for the many blessings You've given us. The fact that You sent Jesus here to die for us. The fact that You began the church for the benefit of Your people. I pray, God, today that if there is anybody that needs Your love, that needs to be covered by Your sacrifice on the cross, that they would come forward and talk with them about salvation. Talk about what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a follower of You. What it means to be a member of this church body. Thank You, God. You've given us the opportunity to be here, to be a part of something so much greater than our individual lives. Pray, God, that we can focus intently on what You want to do for our church. It's in Jesus' name I pray.